everyone. I'm your host, Austin Slater. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. I'm joining you this week from the exact same place I join you every week. But I'm not alone. Today, I've got our incredible pastor, Tim Halwerda, joining me. Tim, it's great to have you back in the studio.
Thanks, Austin. It's good to be here.
Yeah, you do anything interesting this weekend? It's been a really warm Memorial Day weekend.
I didn't do very much. We did join my family at my parents' cottage for a grill out on Saturday, but just for the day.
Nice.
And then I came back and was in church Sunday. Mm. And then Monday, the rest of my family went away and I stayed home and worked in the yard.
Nice.
But was kind of nice.
Yeah. A little bit of peace.
Yep. It was good.
I love that. Well, and your sermon on Sunday was absolutely incredible. Actually, my family and I have had several conversations about it.
Oh, thank you.
So I was just thinking it'd be great if you could kind of give us a bit of a summary. What were some of the key points and highlights from that sermon?
Yeah, it was a Pentecost sermon, so we were talking about the Spirit, which is always a little bit of a mysterious topic. He's harder for us, I think, to get our mind around than Jesus is. But yeah, just looking at what Jesus said about the coming Spirit from Acts chapter 1. And the nature, I guess, what the power is for, why Jesus promised the Spirit to come. And then the nature of that power, what does that look like? So we're clear about what it is we're looking for when we're waiting for that promise. And then just how does that work? How do we avail of the gift of the Spirit? So it's kind of the three things we focused on.
Yeah. Well, one of the ones of those three that really stuck out to me is kind of like the nature of that power and what that power's there for. Mm-hmm. And so you were kind of giving a bit of an illustration of how, you know, it's not power for success in business and it's not power for success in the political sphere. You know, it's a lot more about that internal growth. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a really good reframing because you hear it distorted a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you mentioned something about the difference between the prosperity gospel, which really puts an emphasis on that power for those things you mentioned, right?
Right.
Success as we define it often in our world. And, you know, I think the appeal of the prosperity gospel is that they're not entirely wrong. Mm-hmm. There is a sense where the Spirit brings an enabling power. And you see it right away in the book of Acts, like the Peter and John heal in the Spirit. And
right.
Then it says specifically in chapter 3, Peter, or 4, he is filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he speaks. And they are, Sanhedrin is amazed at his boldness.
Yeah.
And the believers pray, and then they are filled, and they speak boldly, and on and on on it goes. And so they're not wrong entirely, those folks who want to emphasize that the Spirit comes and brings a power to do things that we wouldn't be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, anyway.
It's just interesting because that's one, you know, we dealt with a lot in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
As missionaries, there is a lot of, you know, the negative side and people taking advantage of the Spirit and people's desire for that. Mm-hmm. And so one of the really interesting things we dealt with was a lot of churches who would be like, hey, well, if you just give a little bit more to the church, the Holy Spirit will come. And, you know, and you'll be blessed and you'll be healed and all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting because it reminded me a lot of what you'd hear about the Catholic Church would do a long time ago with, and of course the name's escaping my head right now, but paying tithes to the church.
Indulgences,
that's the one. It was just interesting. And so I was wondering if you could kind of talk a little bit about how we can avoid taking advantage of the Holy, because you said the Holy Spirit's kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around and understand. And we want to, you know, we want to make sure we're sensitive to what the Holy Spirit can do.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want to make sure that we're not substituting our own will there for the Holy Spirit. So I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on how we can successfully discern whether or not, you know, something is of the Holy Spirit, something is of us, and how we could try to combat that negative appropriation of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. I think, and we're always going to have a human tendency because of our fallenness to try to turn it towards our own advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Self-serving. And it also speaks, I think, the appeal of the power gospel is that we all sense a need for more power. We're all sensing our own weakness, our lack. And so there's always going to be that desire for us to take those promises to ourselves for whatever purposes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I don't know, can you narrow that question down a little bit, like in terms of discernment?
Yeah,
or
sure. So how could we discern? Well, first off, how could we discern whether we're trying to do something with our own power or with the Spirit's power? Mm-hmm. Does that narrow it down a little bit?
Yeah, that's actually, I think, a harder one.
Okay.
I think when it comes to saying, well, what is the Spirit for? I think we go to Scripture and you can see, you know, like in that passage, it's pretty much Jesus is giving it for his purpose, mm-hmm. to be my witnesses. He's not giving it blanket. The Spirit is not a vending machine that we can use for whatever we want. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm going to give you my Spirit and you will be my witnesses. So it's Jesus' purpose, mm-hmm. to fulfill God's plan on the earth. And you look at what the Jesus said in the Gospels about what the Spirit will do. It's all related to that plan, right? He's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to remind you of what I have said. Mm-hmm. He will convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. And it's all the Spirit's working God's plan out in the world. It's not just coming to do whatever we want. So in terms of the purposes of the Spirit's power for us, I think those you can go to Scripture and find a pretty good framework for.
Sure.
Your other question, though, about discerning that and how does that manifest itself in our lives, I think is more difficult.
Okay.
Because that's where we have to learn, and I think it comes over time. It's a discernment process, mm-hmm. of, is this movement in my, stirring in my soul, my own desires and my own energies, or is this from the Spirit leading me into that? You know, like the Bible, Paul says to the Romans, the Spirit in us cries, Abba, Father. Mm-hmm. So we discern, okay, what is this stirring in my heart? Well, he's telling us that the love for God as our Father, that desire for him, that relationship, well, that's the Spirit's movement inside of us. Mm-hmm. But we don't always discern that right away ourselves. What does that feel like?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, and an interesting framework that you used in the sermon was talking about how the power of the Spirit should look like Jesus.
Yes.
Because we're the ambassadors, mm-hmm. of Jesus. We're his witnesses. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a really helpful, as I was trying to frame this in my mind, I was like, okay, is this, mm-hmm. is this calling, is this desire, is this thing that I want to do that I think is the Holy Spirit, is this putting me in a position that looks like Jesus, a position of submission and a position of healing and restoration for others,
right,
and that relationship, rather than just a self
exactly.
building up.
And that's a really great sort of litmus test, I guess, for, is this the Spirit's moving me and the Spirit empowered me to do this, or is it me? Does this result in my glory and my advance, or does it have a cross-shaped feel to it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this causing me to suffer for the sake of somebody else? That's probably something that our flesh wouldn't pursue. So that may be the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, we all want to think that we're the exception.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh yeah, of course it might glorify me, but I guess I'm just
right.
I'm just the vessel that's being chosen, and that's most likely not necessarily the case.
Yeah, and it's, you know, pride is very insidious and subtle, and especially for those of us who are serious about our faith, it can be very difficult because we think we have holy motives for the things we're doing. Mm-hmm. But it can be about our own, you know, reputation and name, and we don't realize maybe that we really like to be on the forefront of these things. So the cross is crucial, I think, in discernment. Is this cost me something, you know? And is that power manifested even while I am feeling weak and frail? And 'cause I think that's where the Spirit often operates. Right.
Yeah. He finds the spots that we can't do it and steps up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you had kind of, in asking that question, I wonder, you probably have had some of your own experience where, how did you discern the end, if I flip it on you? How do you discern when you've come to the end of something, you go, oh, that was my own strength, it wasn't the Spirit?
Oh, yeah. That's a great question. A lot of it was actually through friends of mine confronting me on it. So it'd be things that I was, you know, thinking I was doing really well. I was stepping out. I was putting myself in situations where, I mean, if you've ever talked to me or listened to us talk, you know I like to talk. I like to, I'm not afraid to have my voice out there. I'm not afraid to be the center of attention.
Yep.
And so a lot of it came in really with the, Austin, you're really putting yourself out there, and it's not for the right motives. You really, And like, you're doing good work, but your heart isn't where it should be. Mm-hmm. So for me, a lot of that was people coming alongside me saying, hey, Austin, let's do some self-reflection here.
Mm-hmm.
Or another, you know, pride is my cardinal sin. That's the one that I struggle with the most, I've found. And so looking back on an area of my life where I was thinking, man, I'm really doing good. I'm learning so much. The Spirit is moving so much in me. And I can tell that, and I can mm-hmm. see I'm really having an impact on other people.
Mm-hmm.
I was honestly really just kind of being a turd the whole time. I was very self-centered, very, yeah. you know. And so a lot of it was that, you know, reflecting back and being like, this was not, this was me trying to do it and me trying to be the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And using the language of the Holy Spirit will come and, you know, empower me when I can't. Yeah. But I wasn't really relying on him.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. And I think, you know, when we try to follow the Spirit, and this is more about leading than his power, but in discerning the leading of the Spirit, lots of church history stories of people who ended up doing things they didn't really want to do, but they felt compelled by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like St. Augustine, for instance, he did not want to be a busy bishop. He ran from the call.
Yeah.
Right. But the Spirit corralled him and the Spirit used him.
Yeah.
Right. And over again, you hear these kinds of stories. At the same time, I don't want to only say that God's only leading us when it's going to be drudgery and pain for you.
Right.
Because certainly he uses our own
built-in passions
and desires, and those can very much be his leading as well.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's all, a lot of it really just boils down to, you know, the heart mm-hmm. and your motive for this. Is this a self-motivated thing mm-hmm. or is this something that's going to point to God?
Yeah. I think Mother Teresa had said that every day you begin with absolute surrender.
Hmm.
And then if God desires that you serve him in a palace, then accept it and serve in a palace.
Hmm.
You don't always have to serve in the slums. This is Mother Teresa talking,
yeah.
right? But sometimes God has us for those kinds of places. And it is about surrender, though. It's that daily, I think, acknowledgement that we have to put ourselves and discern. Like, okay, Lord, help me. I want to serve you today. Lead me by your Spirit
right.
in your way, whatever that looks like.
And really living into that missional life. So, you know, we just finished this whole series on missions mm-hmm. and what it is to live a missional life and how that's not just something for the people called to the slums.
Right.
You know, that's something for all of us. We're all living this missional life.
Yep.
We're all living with this Holy Spirit giving us power to make it through.
Yep.
And all need that discernment and that self-reflection to see, are we really doing that well, or is this just us trying to kind of give ourselves an edge?
Right. And I think, get back to your original question, how do you discern that? I think that comes, and God will give that clarity, but it does come with some living that out. It takes some time to discern, mm-hmm. you know, is this of the Spirit? And eventually you start to recognize, yeah, this is just Tim.
Yeah.
And this is not necessarily the Spirit. And other times, you know, St. Ignatius, who is kind of the patron saint of discernment, talked about consolation, feelings of consolation or desolation. Mm-hmm. One is drawn by being led by the true Spirit and the other by false spirit, which his terms were broader than the Holy Spirit and the devil. It included
right.
our own, you know, the good things that God is using mm-hmm. to move us, and as well as our own human sin that might be the false spirit. But discerning how those movements and stirrings in your life leave you at the end of the day. And after a while, you start to recognize, you know, I get excited about this, that, and the other thing, but at the end of the day, it leaves me dry and unhappy. Mm-hmm. That's probably not God's Spirit.
Yeah.
But when God's Spirit moves in me, it leaves me with greater hope and love and peace and joy. Mm-hmm.
And that Christ-like reflection.
And closer to God. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, after time, I said, oh, that's what the Spirit's
yeah.
leading feels like.
Well, and I think that's so critical that you're saying over time, too, because especially a lot of people my age, we feel like, okay, we've got this passion. We've got to be doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is clearly what the Spirit's doing. And if I'm not doing everything right now the right way, then I'm a failure and not living in the Spirit, or mm-hmm. I'm, you know, running away or all this. And it's, I think that's such a critical element, too, that you've hit on, is that this is not necessarily something you will, we're not going to hear it right away. It's not always, you know, the fire or the earthquake. It's that still small voice over yeah. time.
Yeah. And I think there's an encouragement there. Like, if you feel passion and you really feel led to do something, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then be reflective on it, and you'll discern, was that really the Spirit or was that me? And that's
right.
that's how we learn from it, right?
Yeah.
And like Jesus had the opportunity to make bread out of nothing twice. And one he knew was the leading of the devil, and the other he knew was the leading of his Father.
Mm.
You know? And so it's interesting, right? Like, how did Jesus
yeah.
discern that? course, he's the perfect son of God. But I think we do it by mistake often. Right. We learn by error and say, okay, God, I messed up on that.
Yeah.
But
and relying on the grace that, you know, we might misunderstand the Spirit sometimes. We might try and use our own power. And that's okay. And we make mistakes and we learn from that. And we're not the worst person ever for failing that way.
Yeah. A friend of mine said that years ago. He said, if you're not sure if that's the voice of the Spirit speaking to you, just do what it says. And, you know, all things being equal according to God's word. But do what it says and see once what happens.
Right.
Right? It takes a risk. But maybe or maybe not, that's right. And then you'll figure it out. You're like, oh, yeah, I can start to recognize the Spirit and how he speaks.
Right. Yeah, it's just, and the Spirit's a fascinating concept and the power of the Spirit. And so I'm really excited to carry on in this series. There's a lot, I think, that we're going to have to learn and to reflect on.
I am too. And I hope that in this we'll have lots of time to really practically practice it too, not just to learn about it, but really
move it from head knowledge to heart knowledge.
Right. What is it like to live in the Spirit? And I think God wants us to have that because it doesn't take a 64-page dissertation to understand how to live in the Spirit, right? Jesus told stories of wheat and seeds. And simple for us. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Tim, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been wonderful. Audience, thank you for joining us. We look forward to joining you again this time next week.
Okay. Thanks, Austin.
Blessings.